Heavenly Father, I'm so thankful for all Your blessings. Lord, I pray that each one of us, our desire would be to be more like You. As we worship, as we listen to the sermon today, Lord, I pray that Your Holy Spirit would penetrate deep into our hearts, deep into our minds, and transform us to be more like You, in the image of You, Father. May no one hear my voice, but may they hear Your voice today. And pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, that last song will preach. Stay here for a little while. Till I'm more like You, in the image of You. And, you know, it just makes me think of the influences that we have in our life and how much they affect us. And we don't even realize it. My nephew, I was noticing last night, Travis and Brandy's youngest, Evan, he was doing something, and he was looking just like their youth pastor in the way that he was doing it, and he'll imitate him to be funny. But I thought, he wasn't trying to be funny, it's just he's around him so much that I can see how he's beginning to take on his mannerisms. And it's just funny. That's how we are. And so if you're not reflecting Jesus and His mannerisms, whose fault is it? We're not spending enough time with Him. It's our fault. That's not the message today. The message today is in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. And I'll tell you, while we were on vacation a few weeks ago, I felt like every day the Lord was speaking to me on different stuff, and I was taking notes as much as I could in my phone and keeping up with it. And last week I wasn't sure if I was going to be preaching or not. I thought the Gideons were going to be here, but I hadn't heard from them since they booked it, and they usually call me ahead to just confirm, and I hadn't heard from them. So I was like, okay, Lord, I better have something prepared just in case. And so I'd kind of had halfway prepared a sermon. And then when I decided I felt like this was what the Lord wanted me to preach on today, it completely changed from last Sunday to this Sunday. And so I pray this is Holy Spirit led and that you all receive something from this. In 1 Timothy chapter 12, or I'm sorry, chapter 1, verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that He considered me faithful, appointed me to His service. That's a whole lot right there to think about, that He appointed him to service. Have any of y'all ever been at a workplace or something, and maybe even a classroom or something, and you were appointed to a special task, a special job, a special assignment? I remember when I was in school, even if I got to take something, if the teacher needed something to go to the principal's office, I wanted to be the one to be picked and take it, just because you got out of the classroom for just a minute, and it just makes you feel good to be asked to do something, you know? When we were on vacation, my boss called me and asked me if I would take on a special job assignment, and I turned it down, but it still felt really good for him to ask me to do this. You know, it was going to involve traveling and everything, and he couldn't promise me that it wouldn't involve traveling on Sundays. And so I said, thank you very much. I'm honored that you asked me, but I'm going to have to pass, because it just made me feel good. But y'all, do you think about that the Creator of this universe appointed Paul here to service? And you know what? He's done the same for you this morning. He's appointed you. He has a job. He has a task for you to do. Verse 13, even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. I want y'all to think about that. That's why Jesus came, was to save sinners. And He says, of who I am the worst. I don't know about y'all, but I feel like I am the worst. And I mean that. When you think about the thoughts in here, the life that I led, the garbage, Paul don't have nothing on me. The worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience as an example for those who believe on Him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So He was appointed to service, and He was the worst of sinners, so that God might be glorified, might be displayed. I want you to think about your life and who you once were and what Christ is doing in you and how Christ is transforming you and how Christ is changing you. Do you not think that He's appointed you for something so that He might be glorified, so that He might be honored? Y'all, I'm telling you, one of the biggest compliments I have is when I see old friends, when I see my old buddies that I used to run around, and they shake their head and they say, "Pete, I still can't believe you're a preacher." Y'all, that's awesome, because look what Jesus has done. That's Him receiving the honor and glory. That's nothing I've done. That Christ Jesus might display His unlimited patience with me and with you. And what has been displayed in your life? Were you a liar? Were you a cheat? Were you full of anger and unforgiveness? Were you a gossiper? Were you a person that nobody wanted to be around because all you did complain? What were you? And now, what have you become that Christ in His glory and His honor and His patience might be displayed in your life? Can people look at your life and who you were and who you are now and say that it's a miracle, that's only Jesus that could have done that? That's only, how did they used to be this way and now there's something else? How did that happen? I want to go back to Isaiah chapter 6. And this was really the heart of the message that I felt like the Lord had given me. Isaiah 6, verse 8. "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here I am, send me.'" You know, my Bible has an exclamation mark there. I don't know if y'all's does or not. And I don't think Isaiah was going, "Here I am, send me." I think he was going, "Here I am, send me, send me." And this verse really came to my mind because I thought, how many of us are really like that with God? "Here I am, send me. God, I want to do Your work. God, I want people to see You in my life." And I thought about, any of y'all ever remember, or maybe even you've experienced this now, you've ever been in a meeting with your boss or been in, and when you were in school, And the boss is looking for a volunteer, or the teacher's looking for a volunteer. And what does everybody do? They look down, right, Adam? They look down. Don't make eye contact. You make eye contact. I remember I don't know why I quit doing it, but used to at the end of the service, I would look for somebody to end service with a closing prayer. And everybody knew it, and eyes went down. Nobody wanted to pray at the end of service. Why? Nobody's standing up volunteering. And you know what? It seems like there's usually one guy that's like, "Oh, I'll do it." And then what? Everybody's like making fun of him. Oh, he's, you know. But that's not in most of our nature, right? We're not, "Here I am, send me." We're looking the other way. We're not making eye contact. And then the teacher calls on us or the boss calls on us, and we're like, "Ugh. Why did they call on me?" And I was thinking about Isaiah saying, "Here I am, Lord. Send me." And what brought him to that point? And when you go back to verse 5, he says, "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." He's saying, "Woe to me." That's not that different from Paul. "I'm the worst. I was the worst of sinners." He's, "Woe to me." Then one of the seraphims flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." What happened? There was atonement made. What's happened in your life? Jesus has come and made an atonement for your sins. And what happened when all at once he realizes that there's atonement for his sins, that his guilt has been taken away? And then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" And he says, "Here I am, I will go, send me." Church, we need to quit ducking our heads from our Lord. We need to quit looking the other way. If Jesus has touched your life, if Jesus has transformed you, if Jesus has done a miracle for you, if Jesus has paid for your sins, where are we at? Why aren't we looking up saying, "God, here I am, send me," so that your glory, so that your honor, so that what you've done with me might be displayed in my life and in the life that I live and what I'm doing, that you might be glorified now, Heavenly Father, that I no longer live, but that you live in me. We're going to go to John chapter 12 and read about five verses here. John 12, verse 23. I hear pages flipping, so I'll wait a minute. I appreciate the pages flipping. You guys need to follow along as much as you can. John 12, 23, Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seed. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled, and what shall I do? Father, save me from this hour." No, it was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. I want you to, there's so much in there, church. There's so much in there from, if you don't die, you're not going to produce, right? Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only a single kernel. So what is that saying? What kind of death is that? It's a death to the old man. It's a death to the flesh. It's a death to your desires and your wants. Because you know what? My desires and my wants don't line up with God's desires. I want to be selfish. I want to take care of me. I don't want to be friendly. I don't want to help those in need. I want to sleep in, and I want to be a bum. And, you know, that's my desire. My desire is go to the lake and go camping and do all these things. But God's changed me to where now I want to be here. I want to be part of this family. I consider it a great honor and opportunity to get up here and preach. My desires have changed. Why? Because I'm dying to my old self and the new is being born. And hopefully in doing this, I'm producing good seed. See, the single seed is when you live for yourself and you desire to please yourself and you desire to please no one else. But when you begin to die to that self and honor Christ, then He's going to put you in situations to produce more and more and more. Is this making sense to anybody this morning? It's when He hates His life in this world that He'll keep it for eternal life. You know, we've had so much sadness this month. I was thinking, I don't know if a week of July has gone by that I haven't known someone that's passed away. And we don't know a lot of people. We're a small town and small community. So much sadness. We don't know when our time's up for eternal life. Have we died to our selfish desires so that Christ might be glorified in our life, that now we may honor Him and serve Him. What did Jesus say? Father, save me from this hour, but no, for this very reason I came to this hour, so that God might be glorified. You know, sometimes God's going to ask you to do stuff that's not pleasant, that's not fun, that's not what you necessarily even want to do. But so that He might be glorified, you do it. And you die to yourself, and you die to your flesh, and you do it so that He might be glorified. Y'all, then, I felt like this last several weeks, I've had to die to myself in a lot of situations. I won't go into detail, but I've had to do some stuff that I did not want to do at all. No part of me wanted to do it. But I knew it was the right thing to do, so I did it. So that God might receive the honor and glory, not so that Pete would receive it, because if Pete was doing it, he wouldn't have done it. We are called today to die to our worldly desires and to bring glory to our Heavenly Father, to serve Him. Deuteronomy 11, 13 and 14 says, "So if you faithfully obey the commands I am giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve Him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rain, so that you may gather in your grain and new wine and oil." And I wanted to read both those verses because I think it's so important to understand that if you're running dry in your life, if you're feeling empty, if you're struggling with depression, if you're struggling with sadness, have you begun to honor God so that He might restore you, so that He might renew, so that He might send rain upon your land of your heart? See, it's when we fully obey God and we trust God, y'all, there's something that happens. There's something that happens that can't be explained. There's a joy, there's a peace, there's a contentment that takes over. It's just amazing. But see, when I live for myself and my selfish desires, I'm never satisfied. I want more and I want more and I want more. And y'all, I'm not saying that I've arrived. It's still a battle. It's still a battle quite often in my life of wanting more and wanting different and wanting newer. But I have to stop and I have to pray and I have to examine and I have to say, Lord, what brings glory and honor to You? Is it taking that other job that I'm not at home as much, that I'm traveling, that I'm not able to read Your Word as much, that I'm not able to preach? What brings honor and glory to You? Is it to get my credit cards maxed out, but I got a lot of nice new stuff, but then I can't afford to help and help missionaries or tithe or give? That reminds me, I meant to announce this. This is a commercial break. The Gideons that came last week, they told me, I think at least twice, maybe three times before they left, and then they told Amanda to text me and make sure that we knew $1,281 or $83, I'd have to look at my text, $1,280-something we took up for Bibles for them last week. They said, "Do you know we go to churches with hundreds, even thousands of people, and we won't take up this much?" They said, "Your church always steps up, and we're so thankful for it." I'm thankful for y'all. That's planting seed in the kingdom of God. And y'all, that's dying to ourselves. You know, it's easy to take your money and say, "Well, I want to buy this or I want to buy this," but praying and saying, "Lord, what would Thou have me do?" And giving and planting good seed for eternal value, for eternity. It's someday when we stand before the Lord and it's going to be there. Are we serving Him with all of our heart? Is your Christian life, let me say this again, do you realize your Christian life is always on display. At work, at home, at Walmart, at the ball games. Your life is on display when you say you are a believer, that you are a child of God. The way you are with your boyfriend, with your girlfriend, when you're on social media, when you lay down at night and you think no one's around, your life is on display. And it's amazing to me how mean and how critical Christians can be in their social media or when they're at work and or gossiping or talking. And I want you to think about this. Someone says, you know, I want to be a Christian. I want to be a Christian. I've heard all this talk about Jesus. That's what I really want to be. And someone's looking at your life and they're saying, well, I know old Pete. He's a Christian. He's a preacher. So I want to be like him because I want to be a follower of Jesus. And then they see me losing my temper and throwing something at work. They hear me laughing at that dirty joke. They see me compromising on the time clock. Is Jesus receiving honor and glory in any of that? No. We're called to be servants of the Most High. And many of us, and I'm not pointing fingers at you, I'm saying many of us, sometimes Christ is saying, I want to display my power in your life. Pete, I want to display my power in your life. And we're just like them students in the classrooms, not making eye contact, going, Lord, don't send me. Don't ask me to be different. Don't ask me to talk to that person. Don't ask me to pray for that person. They'll think I'm weird. And many of us, I feel like, not only are we not willing to say, here I am, Lord, send me, we're compromising to the point that our life is not even bringing glory to Him anymore. Because, you know, there's even a difference between going and praying for somebody the Lord's told you to pray for or just not partaking in sin. And I feel like so many Christians have compromised and are even partaking in sin now because they want to fit in, because they don't want to be different. And where is Jesus being glorified in your life? Here I am, send me, Lord, but not at work, not at the ball fields, not in social media, I got to get my likes, not at home when I'm watching TV. Lord, here I am, send me to church. And I'll show up to church and I'll smile and I'll put on my makeup and fix my hair and look all nice and happy. But that's where it begins and that's where it ends, God. Colossians 3:22 says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it not only when their eye is on you to win their favor, but with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be paid for the wrong. And there is no favoritisms. Can I tell you something? When you're working at home, at work, at wherever you go, if you're studying for a test, for school, whatever you're doing, you should be working at it with all your heart as unto the Lord. Not to that boss, not to that teacher, not to that professor, but you are giving God your best. And when you're giving God your best, then the outcome is left up to Him also, right? If you get that promotion, if you get that A, if you get whatever, that you're giving God your best. And see, so often we compromise and we look at who's right in front of us and we don't do our job the way we should. We don't do our studying the way we should. We don't take care of our home the way we should because we feel like nobody notices, nobody cares, or I don't like that guy, he's mean to me. I don't like that woman, she's so annoying, or whatever. But if we're working as unto the Lord, it changes everything. And He's called us to service. He's called us and appointed us to display His glory and His honor. And can I tell you something? People notice. People notice. If you're taking it easy, you're not doing your job, you're not going full force, people notice. Masters, provide for your slaves with what is right and fair, because you know that you also have a Master in heaven. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mysteries of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act towards outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Working as unto the Lord, making the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Are people drawn to you because you're different? Do people see Jesus Christ in your life? And Paul says, I pray that the message might be proclaimed, for which I am in chains. And I thought about that, and I thought about Acts 26, and we're getting close to the end here. Acts 26, verse 27. And he says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know you do. Then Agrippa said to Paul, do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian? Paul replied, short or long, I pray that God not only you, but all who listen to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. What's he saying? I'm praying that all of you would become Christians, that all of you would be persuaded. In verse 30, the king rose and with the governor and Bernice and those sitting with them, they left the room, and while talking with one another, they said, this man is not doing anything that deserves death or imprisonment. Agrippa said to Festus, this man could have been set free if he had not appealed to Caesar. See, Paul had an audience, but it put him in chains and it put him in prison, and he didn't even have to be there. But it gave him a different audience where he was able to speak to all these people about Christ Jesus, about being saved. Yet, was it comfortable for him? No, he's in chains. But he looked at it as an opportunity to spread the gospel. In church, your job might feel like it's chained sometimes. Your home might feel like chained sometimes. Your friends might feel like chained sometimes. But are we looking at it as an opportunity so that Christ might be displayed? It's not easy. I had incident this week. One of my best friends, Mitzi had sent me a text about a friend of ours that had passed away, and it broke my heart. And then that night, one of my best friends at work passed out and at home and went in convulsions, and lips turned blue. They had to call an ambulance, and he wasn't breathing. And this guy, we've worked together for longer than I've been married. And I hope he never watches this video, because I don't like talking about people and people really knowing I'm talking about them, you know. But when we worked together at the former place I worked, and we started a Bible study, and he started coming, and he and his wife went to church. He had a couple kids and went to church all the time and everything, and then had some major marriage problems time and time again, and him and his wife got divorced. He's remarried now, but from all accounts, he's really not living for Jesus. And I was like, Lord, he's okay. He's not been back to work yet. But I just prayed. I said, God, how can I show him that that could have been it for him, just like our friend? It was his time was up. That could have been it. And he told me, he said, Pete, I don't remember nothing. He said, I got up and went to the bathroom, and he said, that was it. That's all I remember. Y'all, that could have been his eternity right there. And it could have all been over. And I was like, Lord, how can I get through to him that his life needs to change? That he needs to repent, that he needs to turn back. And y'all, I'm not going to lie, it's not easy. Is it easy for you to just go start preaching to someone? It's not easy. I'm the preacher, and it's not easy. And the thing is you want to be seasoned with salt. You don't want to push people away, and you want to be led by the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is who convicts. The Holy Spirit is who saves, right? But He uses us. So I just sent Him a message. I can't even remember what I said, but I was really praying. God, get through to him. Get through to him. Because we don't know. We don't know when our time's up. And so are we living our lives in chains, so to speak, for the gospel. Dying to self. Dying to our flesh. Dying to our desires. Are we living our lives so that people see Jesus? Last verses here, Hebrews 11:24-29. By faith Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God. Rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. And I wanted to read all that because I wanted y'all to see Moses had an opportunity. He could have stayed in Pharaoh's palace. He could have enjoyed all the pleasures of this world, but he said that sin is just for a short time. It's just for a short time that you're enjoying that. You know, we're a society of, I want satisfaction right now. That's why our debt is so enormous. That's why our debt as a country and our individual debt is so enormous. Because we want what we want, so we go in debt. And we get it because we want it. We drive through a drive-thru, and if it takes more than a minute, we're mad. Where's my cheeseburger? Where's my fries? When we're in a hurry, I don't know if y'all's that way, but I'm that way. I'm always in a hurry. I want what I want, and I want it right now. When I get hungry, I'm hungry, and I want to eat. When I'm ready to mow and weedy. Any of y'all ever mowing and weedy and you got to work on it before you get started? That's one of the most annoying things there is. And you go to weedy and you're out of cord and you're out of gas, and then all at once you're doing all that. It's like, I just want to pick it up. I want to run and I want to go. I want what I want when I want it. And many of us are like that with our flesh. We give in to what the flesh wants, and we say, well, someday I'll ask God to forgive me. Someday I'll repent. But that someday, it might not come. Today is the day we need to make a decision. Here I am, Lord, send me. Lord, send me at home, send me at work, send me in my community, send me at church. Father, I want to serve you in whatever that looks like for your life. And whatever that looks like for my life, so that my coworkers, that your glory might be displayed in my life because I don't act like they act. So that my kids might see Jesus in my life because I don't act the way the other parents act. At the ball games, Lord, that you might be displayed in my life because I don't act like everybody else around me. Because I'm different because of you, Jesus, that your glory might be displayed. Here I am, Lord, send me. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. And I pray that each and every one of us would have a heart to serve you this morning. Father, that in our lives Your glory might be displayed in every way, in every area, at work, at home, at the ball games, at Walmart. Father, when we're all alone and no one's looking, Lord, You're looking, and may we understand that, and may Your glory be displayed. Father, for us that sometimes when we shrink back and we're feeling like we just can't, I pray for a fresh touch this morning. A fresh touch on each and every one of our lives, that we would understand that our guilt is taken away, that You've made a way, that You've made atonement for our sin. And Lord, that we would look up to heaven and say, Father, whatever You would have me do, I'm willing. That as Moses turned down the pleasures of this world because he knew how quickly this world was passing by, that we might do the same and put to death the pleasures of this flesh and this world and seek You. That we might display Your love, Your glory, and Your honor. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need a fresh touch this morning, the altars are open. If you need to be that man or woman that says, at work, I've shied down. At work, I've compromised. At home, I've compromised. This is the day to change everything, that you might say, here I am, Lord. Send me, that people might see You in my life. That they no longer see me, that they might see You. The altars are open. So last Sunday night at prayer, I was talking to everybody about praying for things specific and some specific things that I feel like we're lacking here at the church. But I was really reluctant to even say it because I don't want anybody to step up and do something because Pete said there's a void there and it needs to be done. But what I would ask is that you guys, in your lives, in your daily lives, you would pray and say, Lord, what would You have me do? I love how Samantha shared how God called her to do the children. And it was, she felt like the Lord was nudging her, like to do it. And then she said she walked in one day and saw all the kids. And she said it was like the Lord said, so what's your excuse now? She knew God was calling her, and then since she's done a fantastic job. Because God called her, not because Pete said, Samantha, do this. Because God called her. And y'all, God may not be calling you to do anything here at Coop Prairie, but He might be. But I can promise you He's calling you to do something in your everyday life. To show His glory, to show His honor. That He might be displayed. And I pray that each and every one of us, this week, we would have it in our mind. Right when you wake up this morning, you'd say, here I am, Lord. May Your will be done. Be willing. Be willing. Even when it's hard, even when you got to send that uncomfortable text message, even when it's go pray for that person, even when it's don't retaliate against my coworker, don't retaliate against my husband or my wife, or whatever it is, that You might be displayed in my life. You guys, I pray you have an awesome week. We will maybe see you next Sunday, maybe not. Jacob will be here, and I pray you all come back and hear Jacob preach. And y'all have a blessed day.